John Fuang used to tell the story one time when he was on Tudong with the John Lee. They went out with a fairly large group. And John Fuang, from his years with the John Lee, had learned a very important lesson. John Lee never really seemed to be concerned about if anyone was going to be able to keep up with him. He walked very fast through the forest. So John Fuang did his best to keep up with the John Lee. It turned out that on that trip someone else was carrying a John Lee's bowl, another person was carrying a shoulder bag. So when evening came, John Fuang and John Lee found themselves on top of a mountain with nobody else around. They'd left the crowd way behind. So John Fuang strung up his umbrella tent, and they had to share the one tent that night. John Fuang gave his teacher a brief massage, then sat and meditated for a while. He thought of the passage in the canon where the Buddha talks about the monk who is content, just with his robes, his bowl. His basic requisites. And we're like a bird who, wherever he goes, carries his wings as his only burden. This contentment is a kind of wealth. It's a wealth that doesn't weigh you down. And the wealth that comes from material things is heavy, literally, and emotionally. You've got all these ties and all these responsibilities. But if you can find happiness in just a few things, that's the kind of wealth that's light. It's one of the reasons we go into the wilderness, to remind ourselves that you don't really need all that much, just some basic shelter, just enough food to keep going. And if you can train the mind to be happy in a situation like that, that's genuine wealth. Because there's a real lightness that comes from being able to find happiness, simply sitting here, breathing. It means your happiness is dependent on very few contingencies. It's the people with money, the people with investments. They're the ones who have to read the newspapers to figure out what's safe, what's not safe out there in the world. But if your investment is in the skills of the mind, then no matter what the situation, you're secure. There's a sutta where the Buddha talks about the sense of lightness, or he calls it the emptiness that comes from going out in the wilderness. And just having that perception of wilderness, dropping all your everyday concerns, the concerns of your family, society at large. Just realizing you're in the wilderness, you're in the wild. There are no clocks, there's no timetables. And he recommends that you indulge in that perception of wilderness, that mental label that says the wild. Because it makes the concerns of human society seem very small, very far away. And then you can reflect that why you stick with that perception, not allowing your mind to stray back to issues with this person and that. A lot of the disturbances of daily life just fade away, or social life fade away. And you realize that the only disturbances there are the disturbance based on that perception of wilderness. In other words, there can be a great sense of ease, openness, lightness that comes from being out in the wild. But it's not entirely so. You still have to worry about your physical safety. You have to worry about what you're going to get to eat. All the issues that come from identifying with this body, the survival of the body. So the mind in that situation is still not entirely free. It's still not entirely empty of disturbance. So the Buddha goes on to recommend a more refined perception. In this case, it's the element of earth. He says, think of the earth without paying attention to its hollows and irregularities, just its earthness. He said, like a hide that's stretched free of its wrinkles with 100 pegs. Don't think of any of the particulars of earth, just remember, everything around you, everything in the body, is all earth. And as far as you can think out in any direction, it's earth. Actually, you can do the same with any of the other elements or properties as well. Wind is an energy that permeates everything. Fire is the warmth. Water is the coolness and cohesion. These perceptions apply in your body and outside. And when you're not thinking of yourself as a being in wilderness, but just think of the body and what it has in common with everything around it, it begins to blur the distinctions. First, you blur the distinctions inside the body. So many times we think of ourselves as the little spirit that inhabits the head, and the body's just this lump. But you want to create a sense of unity there as well. Remember that your head is earth. You've got bone all around you and the skull. You've got blood vessels. You've got blood in the vessels. All this material stuff here in the head is exactly the same as the material stuff down in the body. Think about that for a while. Try to maintain that perception, that mental label. But there's no real distinction. What's up is the same as down. This is one of the applications of the basis of power. Up and down are basically the same. You've got blood in your head, you've got blood in your feet. The blood that's in your feet right now was in your head a little while ago. The blood that's in your head right now is in your heart, your intestines. It's all part of the same thing. And just keep that perception in mind to help erase that sense of distinction. And then from there you spread it out all around you. There's earth all around you. There's wind all around you. Fire, water, all of these properties just head out in all directions. When you keep that perception in mind, the thought of being in wilderness seems coarse. Because that's always concerned about where you're going to eat, what kind of shelter you're going to have. If you were out in the woods right now in the rain tonight, that would be a big issue too. How are you going to keep warm? But if you just keep your mind on the perception, earth, then the question of your survival, the question of your comfort fades into the background. And you can actually use the perception, if you want to use fire, as a way of thinking of the fire element that permeates the whole body, not only around the skin, but down into the organs. There's fire in everything as well. Sometimes using that label can accentuate that particular property. So the mind is less concerned about the chill of the rain outside. What this shows you is the power of your perceptions. That it's the way you perceive things that can create disturbance in the mind or can get rid of disturbance. And that's an important lesson right there. Even these thoughts, just the thoughts of the wilderness, thoughts of elements, those are just the beginning of the Buddha's teachings on how to induce a lack of disturbance in the mind. You go to more and more refined perceptions. From the physical properties, you go to space. From space to consciousness, consciousness permeating everything. Nothingness, neither perception nor non-perception. What the Buddha calls the themeless concentration of awareness. At that point, you've gone even beyond the notion of oneness. Oneness actually takes you only as far as the infinitude of consciousness. To get beyond that to nothingness, you have to drop the thought of oneness, in other words, the sense of one consciousness permeating everything. You go beyond the oneness, then you go beyond even any theme, any nimitta for the meditation. All the Buddha's definition of nimitta doesn't have to do with seeing lights or hearing sounds. For him, nimitta, the nimitta of right concentration, is the four establishings of mindfulness, the four satipatthana, body, feelings, mind states, mental qualities. There's even a state of concentration which doesn't focus on those at all, just totally independent. No object whatsoever, but awareness is concentrated. Even that, he says, is fabricated. When you realize that there's even an element of effort that goes into that, that it's inconstant, stressful, not self, and you can let go of that as well. That's when there's a true awakening. Even though the emptiness has its gradations, awakening here doesn't happen until you've totally let go of fabrication of all kinds. But this ability to notice the power of your perceptions, what the mind is doing. In other words, you get into a state of concentration, and first you indulge in it, you enjoy it, based on the perception you've chosen. Then you step back a bit and look at it to see what disturbance is still there. You get started on that by going out in the wilderness and seeing the difference of your perceptions. When you're in the wilderness is when you're back in the monastery, or for lay people, when you're here in the relative wilderness of metta as opposed to your homes. That reflection gets you started in the right direction. So you see that the problem of suffering is not anything out there, it's largely in the way you perceive things, the way you fabricate things. And the process of meditation is progressively refined understanding of that teaching. It goes deeper and deeper, more and more subtle, but it's the same basic principle all the way across the board. So learn to appreciate the power of these perceptions. Wilderness as opposed to society, and then the elements as opposed to even to wilderness. Once you've hit the higher levels of emptiness, you look back on these earlier ones and you see how crude they are. But you also appreciate them because they're very useful in getting you to where you want to go. So the more you're able to content yourself with little, keep your possessions few, keep your responsibilities few, the better situation you're in to observe these things, to learn from them. To discover a wealth that's even greater than contentment. A wealth that's no burden at all.